Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. Human bodies donated to science are used in various ways for research, education, and medical testing. Most remains will be cremated after they've been used and either scattered or returned to their next of kin. But some end up shoved away, abandoned by institutions, and forgotten. In this week's Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media's Rachel Sawicki visits one Smyrna couple's home to learn how they are rescuing skeletons and giving life back to the dead.
Everyone who steps foot through Justin Capps and Sonia Cobb's front door is greeted by Meredith.
Meredith is the strange one here. As you can see, I'm 6 foot six, and Meredith's skeleton's almost as tall as I am. That's one of those things. It's kind of indicative of a male, but from the pelvic region, that is female. But some of the other features and stuff all scream male. The prominent brows and stuff like that. This is one that I would really like to get DNA tested just to make sure, because I may have an anomaly of sorts here. I don't know.
Yes, you heard that right. Meredith is a skeleton, and a real one. Past the hallway and to the right sit Morticia and Gomez.
Now, this is a female and a male skeleton, and I like them together in this one case, even though they have a divider, because this gives me an opportunity to show people how to tell the difference between a male and a female.
And further into the living room, underneath the television.
This one here in the big black light lit case, this is Eve. Now, we call her Eve because she's the oldest of all the skeletons we have. We figure her to be sometime late 1700s, early 1800s.
Justin and Sonia have a total of 7 complete skeletons, as well as 3 skulls, various bones, a spine lamp, and tons of taxidermy. But they're not collectors, Justin insists.
They're privately held, privately maintained, and discreetly kept. We do not do that. We are 100% public. We're federally recognized. We can be verified through the IRS, and we gather these things together so they continue to be used in the public eye.
It all started with the idea to start a medical museum. Sonia has a medical license and worked in hospice many years ago, and through her connections with other practitioners, they came across several old medical instruments and tools that Justin calls one of a kind. But they met Tyler in 2018 at one particular oddity store they frequented. Tyler is a geriatric human skull with just one tooth.
And of course, because it's a geriatric skull and Sonia working in hospice, she fell in love with it.
Tyler wasn't for sale, but Sonia and Justin talked about him a lot. In 2020, the shop owner, who the pair became friends with over the years, was forced to close during the pandemic, and the couple wanted to help out.
But due to the sum of money that it was, we would ask that we could hold Tyler in the medical collection that we were establishing. And as soon as he had my money, he could come pick Tyler up and give me my money back. And if he never did, that was okay too, because it was very important to us that Tyler not sit in a storefront. He needed to be in a collection of some sort, a museum, something. Being sitting in the store, it was our opportunity. So we took it and we rescued him.
That sparked an interest in acquiring other human medical specimens, but the cost of a complete skeleton ranges anywhere from $7,000 to $15,000, and it wasn't just the price that put the couple off.
When people gave themselves for the advancement of science and education, it was never meant to be butchered up and then pieced out for money here and there. It was so people like you and I could learn from them. And unfortunately, like everything else, it becomes big business, private business that nobody wants to talk about.
Justin and Sonia were further disturbed by where these specimens were listed for sale, including places like Facebook Marketplace.
So we're like, you know what? I have a very unique opportunity to do something nobody's ever seen before. Some people rescue puppies and kittens. Let's begin rescuing medical specimens.
Ultimately, their mission produced the Ossuary, now a 501c3 nonprofit. Anyone in the community can schedule a free visit to their home in Smyrna to see the specimens and learn more. Justin says he has access to about 1,200 skeletons through fraternal organizations in the U.S., but Sonia says there are probably tens of thousands in circulation worldwide. Most commonly, real human skeletons were found in museums or doctor's offices and other teaching facilities, but most have been replaced with newer, cheaper plastic replicas.
To find out that there are so many skeletons out there that were once used this way, and now what's become of them isn't fair, because that's not what they were meant was meant to happen to them. It's not. I mean, I get that they were once used in a doctor's office and they hung there for people to see and to understand, but to be sold to somebody to just, it's not right.
Justin says there are various ways they acquire their specimens. Mostly they solicit reputable, established businesses or organizations that are willing to donate.
There are some instances I've had to put money out for shipping and insurance and stuff for the donations, but I've never actually physically bought any of them because we do not believe in buying previous people. I mean, to us, that's disgusting.
You can legally buy body parts in just about every state in America. However, Justin says they don't do business in three states, Louisiana, Tennessee, or Georgia, out of caution of the state's strict laws around transporting human remains. But by and large, human remains are considered products.
No more than the shoes on your feet.
After that person or a next of kin signs the consent forms to donate the body to science. Other ossuary missions include rescuing unclaimed cremated remains, or cremains. Some are unclaimed because they had no family or were wards of the state. Others are unclaimed because their family couldn't afford to recover them. In that case, the ossuary will try to reconnect the family with their loved one's cremains at no cost. The handling of unclaimed cremains was another factor in the ossuary's creation.
Every funeral home, they have to hold them for so many years. And then after so many years, what do you do with them? I mean, funeral homes have shut down to the point that they've gone out of business and the buildings have sold with cremains still in the building.
Before they started keeping the bones they acquired, the pair would bury remains and scatter ashes on Justin's family farm in Arkansas's Ozark Mountains, a generational cemetery where his family has been buried for more than 150 years. Justin says if he had the space, they could take in thousands of skeletons. But due to that limitation, they try to reserve their efforts for the most urgent cases until they can expand. Sonia explains their ultimate goal is to build America's first real ossuary.
Our ideal situation, we would love one day to have a church and to create a true ossuary in the United States where we could line the inside of the church with bones, have a chandelier made out of bones. It would be amazing. I've been to one in Germany when I lived in Germany, and it was amazing to see. And there isn't any here in the United States, and we would love to be able to do that.
In the United States, ossuaries refer to a secondary burial site containing the remains of multiple individuals. One of the most notable is the Indian Neck Ossuary on Cape Cod, accidentally discovered during backhoe digging on a project in 1979. It produced the remains of at least 56 individuals buried more than 1,000 years ago. But elsewhere in the world, ossuaries were founded to house skeletal remains when cemeteries were overcrowded and burial space scarce. Throughout ancient and medieval times in the Catholic and other Orthodox faiths, displaying and maintaining the bones of the deceased was a way to honor the dead. Some of the largest ossuaries include the Sedlec and Brno ossuaries in the Czech Republic, which each hold the remains of tens of thousands of people. The Paris catacombs are home to millions. Most ossuaries overseas contain the bones of former monks or parishioners and are now historical landmarks.
So I have no way of acquiring a bunch of human beings so that I can create a church. However, if the medical specimens are technically considered an item,
like property,
so those I can use them to create an ossuary, and there's not any laws around it.
Justin isn't sure if their goal is attainable in Smyrna, but perhaps in surrounding states.
In my dream, I would have some big stone gothic-y church like you would see in Philadelphia or something, but I would take any church that, you know, worked with me, and I would like to put these bones inside of the church and do the same thing where I could continue to perform weddings and funerals and allow an open door instead of by appointment.
For now, Justin and Sonia say they will continue to spread their message and educate those who will listen.
We do travel. Every once in a while, we'll take a skull because it's easy to travel with skull. Then we have taken the skeleton out before, too, for a day trip. And we go out and have lunch with them and just to raise awareness in public.
Negative reactions are few and far between, Justin and Sonia say, and the couple are confident in their mission and their values.
We give life back to death. We try to remember that these specimens were real people at one time. These were brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. Just as we are today, they once were. And what they are now, one day we will be.
Rachel Sawicki, Delaware Public Media.
Thanks, Rachel, for enlightening us this week. And that's a wrap on this edition of The Green. The stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. And remember, The Green is also available via podcast at our website, as well as Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and the NPR and Delaware Public Media apps. Thanks to all those who helped make this week's show possible, Delaware Public Media's Joe Irizarry, Sarah Petrowich, and Rachel Sawicki, along with Delaware Public Media's senior producer, Kyle McKinnon. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Burns saying thanks for joining us this week. And we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delawareans get tuned into a first state of mind.